we got a lot of positive feedback from him. The pasuk says, I'm just going to chaz it over for the olam, even though we said it once, but it's a gishmak, it's a shot in the grub. So it says in the pasuk, that don't hold back your money from an evyon, from a poor person asking you. But the pasuk says two things: don't harden your heart, and don't clench your hand. So the gross says, comes out, that if somebody doesn't have what to give, but they commiserate, is that the right word, with the person, so then they're not over any love, because they're not holding back the money, and they gave their heart. But if you have the opposite, that the guy gave the money, but tells the guy, basically, don't want to help you, or I'm not interested, or whatever, but he's forced into it, so then he's not over loy sick points, because he gave his money, but he's over loy sa'amit sa'savavka, because he didn't want to give the money. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch says he's ma'abit schari. But anyway, be that as it may, just to chazer over everything we've been saying, so we get into the more practical part now. So we've been talking about tzedakah, and we basically, our theory in the end is that tzedakah nowadays is not so shaykh to do the mitzvah of tzedakah the way it's described in the Torah. It's described in the Torah as day machsoira, you give everything he needs. And we said nowadays, in the old days when there was a small shtat, and the rich people could take care of the poor people, and everything was good, so basically there was a real mitzvah of tzedakah. Nowadays, there's nobody that's really doing the full mitzvah of tzedakah to say, day machsoira, give him what he needs. So rather, you participate, you give tzedakah out. So what do we do more? What we really focus on nowadays is the mitzvah of meiser. So Chazal said, well, you're not going to give tzedakah. So you should separate money, 10% of your income, not of your assets. And you should use 10% of your money for mitzvahs. Now, first of all, is this a chiyuv? Is this a mitzvah? Is this a derabanan? Is this a deraisa? What is it? So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, separating meiser is not really mentioned. It's mentioned in the Taz, but it's not mentioned really in the Shulchan Aruch so explicitly. So the what is the makar for separating meiser? So let's just go through a little bit the makaris. It's first of all the Tosfos in Masechtas Tainis, Aser to Aser, Hochi Isa B'Sifri, Aser to Aser is called Tvua Zarecha, Yoytze Asad Shana Shana, that there's a concept of giving off Meiser from your Tvua, that we know that's a Pasuk in the Chumash. You have to give off Meiser from your grains, your grain, your wine, your oil. Ein li'ela Tvua Zarecha Shechayv Meiser. That's only Tvua of your grains. But Ribis Prachmatia of Choshar Revoche Minayim, how about other income? Money, Tamun Loimar Eis, Ace call. Remember, S to us, my call. Rabbis, ribbis, machmatim, choldavish, marviach. Boy, so Tosfos says it's a diak in the pasuk. There's a medrash tanchuma. So in other words, it's an add on to the mitzvah of giving off from your grain. You should give meiser from your money. Aser to aser, the medrash says aser b'shulta shetis asher. Rem is a mafarsha yom lohitzi achem asal amali toyah. This is a tanchuma that the Chafetz Chaim brings. So there was and by the way, the first person to do this was Yaakov Avinu, because he said, I'm going to call Asher Titan the Aser Asren Allah. So, okay. So there's this a new thing, let's call it, the Poskim basically call it a minag, maybe it's a chiyuv derabanan, to take off meiser of your money. It's not a mitzvah deraisa, it's a mitzvah derabanan. Now, like we said before, the Chafetz Chaim says, nowadays, we use our meiser money for tzedakah too, because we give tzedakah with our meiser. The question is, what was the real purpose of separating meiser? What was the real purpose of this mitzvah? So the Chafetz Chaim says that, well, if the purpose was to mimic the concept of meiser of your grain, who did you give the meiser of your grain to? Did you give the meiser of your grain to the poor people, or did you give the meiser of your grain to the Levim, to the Kohanim? You didn't give it to the poor people, you gave it to the Levim. Why? Makes a lot of sense. Because since the Levim were dedicated to doing the service of Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, and they were also, according to Rashi and Chumash Parshas Vayechi, they were the teachers, right? So since they were the teachers, they were the Lomdei HaTorah, they were the ones that were dedicated to the worship, to the service of Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mela, the concept of Meiser was that it's mutal, it's the Kleisel is obligated to make sure that they have what they need to live and become some sort of grand shutfis. That those that are working the field support those that are doing the ruchnius of Klal Yisrael. Therefore, says the Chafetz Chaim, the concept of meiser of your money should be the same. That it's be'ikr for those that are learning Torah, amale Torah, he says, that's the lashon of the Medrash, learning Torah, mistama those that are teaching Torah, learning Torah, and doing the ruchnius for Klal Yisrael. Which would make sense that hachzakas ha-Torah would take precedent over aniyim in meiser. Again, we didn't learn this yet because we were discussing mitzvah tzedakah directly. We weren't talking about meiser. What? We started with this. Yeah. We started getting into it. So now, amalei Torah that are poor, which is usually the case, so then you have a little bit of both. Yeah. Right? So then you have it in both ways. Okay? So this is the concept of separating meiser. Because, I will say something very important now, because meiser of money is supposed to mimic meiser of grain, so for the concept should be that you should separate it. The concept should be that there's a hafrasha. So the Chafetz Chaim is very into this concept, we mentioned it last week too, is that you should be kind of separating out your meiser. Ad kedei kach, that the Reb Chaim Kanievsky says, that you have to be pretty precise about it. Just like my meiser, the mitzvah is, you have to be very precise. It's got to be 10%. You're not supposed to give more or less, because you can mess everything up if you give more or less. So in your meiser of your money, really should be precise as well. And what should happen is, if you're going to separate, let's say, a little bit more than meiser, so 11, 12%, the more the difference between the meiser and the 12%, that 2% doesn't have a din of meiser, as a din of tzedakah. It's a different halacha. Stam stach, whatever. I'm doing it for something else. So the meiser is really the meiser until you get up to choymesh, which is a new din. Choymesh is another halacha that you can give two meisers.
What if you separate straight right to choymesh?
Theoretically speaking, Chafetz Chaim says you should separate 10% twice. Why? Because the first meiser is more for amalei Torah, the second meiser really is more for aniyim. That's theoretically the way the Chafetz Chaim describes it. I don't know exactly. Nowadays, what's separating?
Like two different actions?
Nowadays, we don't really separate anything. Everything's just like digital and numbers. They're like, we don't actually ever see money. Everything's just a bunch of numbers. So it's really all just cheshbonos, really. But still, l'maisa, if a person has, to mekayim this, I think, it's wise to have some sort of tzedakah account or a donor's fund, a donor's advised fund, something where you basically put right away your tzedakah money.
That additional percentage of meiser, which Rebbe describes as tzedakah, you're not a kind of tzedakah to rice on that, though. It doesn't all of a sudden go from derabanan or minhag to all of a sudden to a rice, because you're not
really
a kind of tzedakah in the true sense either.
No, but you shouldn't have in mind that it's meiser. So therefore, for other halachas, it's more lenient. Like you could use it for other things.
So what I call it tzedakah.
It's stam money for set aside. It's not meiser. Right. That's what he's saying. It's not an expanded meiser. You can't expand your meiser. And that's why it's important to set. And that's where you have all these shilas of when do you set aside the meiser, which we're not going to get to this week. We'll get to that next week. About how to cheshbon your meiser. You know, is it year to year? If you made money, then you lost money. These types of shilas. Let's go further into what are you allowed to use your meiser for? Like we said, it's not just for tzedakah. This is what a lot of people, this is a very common Indian that people want to know. Can I use my meiser money to pay for someone to go to camp? Can I use my meiser money to buy an aliyah and shul? Can I use my meiser money to... You know, I see that, whatever, this thing is broken. I want to replace it. I want to buy the shul something. Or all sorts of different things that people ask questions about meiser money. So what are you allowed to use it for? So the place can discuss the question, if you're allowed to use the meiser for mitzvahs. Are you allowed to use meiser money for, quote-unquote, for mitzvahs? So over here, there's a Ramah. It's the fourth Ma'ar Malkam on the page. The Ramah says, in Hilchos Tzedakah Reish Mem Tes, Ve'ein la'aseis mi'maiser shaloi dvar mitzvah. You're not supposed to use your maiser for a dvar mitzvah. Ki goin neirois l'beis ha'kneses to buy candles, which is light for the shul. Oy shar dvar mitzvah. Rak yitzneno l'anim. It should be for anim. Now, says the Taz, he says not like that. He says, no, I'm sorry, it's the Shach, if you continue. Marshal ve'adrisha kasu b'shem chuvas maram, t'chol mitzvah sh'tovu li'yadoi, kigoyin li'oiz bal bris, oi l'hachnes chosan v'kalo l'chopa, v'chiyagavna, any mitzvah that you have the opportunity to do. You say you want to pay to be the sandik, or you want to pay for someone's chasana. V'chein liknoi sfarim, even to buy sfarim. Now, Chaim Kanevsky explains this. He says, in those days, buying sfarim was extremely complicated. People didn't have gemaras. You have these stories that, you know, the Pnei Yeshua went to a city and he never left. And they're like, weren't you supposed to stay for a few days only? He's like, yeah, but I saw Gemara Bava Basra here. I haven't seen one of those in years. So, you know, I came to learn. I'm not leaving here until I learn the whole Masechta. So the sfarim were very, very, very uncommon. And it was very expensive. And they just were not benimtza so much. So buying svarim was especially svarim that you were going to use for communal purposes, was considered to be a very, very big need for the community. Someone's going to have a big library. If there's a big library in those days, that would be a huge thing for the community, that the rabbanim, the people, would have access to things that they didn't have access to. So that's what buying svarim meant. Chaim Kanievsky says today, where it's basically, you know, whatever, zundelborman.com, I'm saying, and you get anything you want within 2 days. So, what?
2 seconds.
Yeah, and the only clear is we're waiting until they have the free shipping sale. I'm saying, but like, the basic one.
I have
Keter. And now you have Keter, exactly. So, you know, Lemaisa, the Chaim Kanievsky, seriously, discourages people from using Meiser money for Svarim. It's not really a need for the community. So you're going to say, oh, I'll put in it, this was bought with Meiser money.
What happens if you're buying it for shul?
No, if you're buying it for shul, so that's a different story. That's like the first thing. You're buying, it's not worse than buying anything else for the shul. So
Meiser,
it says Meiser, not you. Oh, so the Ramos says not like that, but the Shach says that you could use Meiser money for mitzvahs. If the person would not do the mitzvah otherwise, he would not do it without it. He's allowed to do it with ma'aser. So, like you just asked, the Rama says, oh no, you cannot buy the neiros for the shul. You cannot do mitzvahs with your ma'aser. And the Shach says, you could do mitzvahs with your ma'aser. So we seem to have a machlokes between the Rama and the Shach. So the Be'er HaGoyla, the Be'er HaGoyla lived in Vilna. He was a predecessor to the Gra, really, in a lot of ways. He was an ancestor of the Gra, and he also, his Mahalachim learning was very similar in terms of learning, in terms of his Pirish on Shulchan Aruch. So the Be'er HaGoyla writes, which is right after the Shach, he says, Pirish, Shebelav Hochi Mechuyiv Al Koponim Lasas Mitzvah Zu. You have to do the mitzvah. V'roitz Lifter Mimena B'Meiser. Ein Rashai. Zok the Shach, Zok the Be'er HaGoyla, there's no machlokes here between the Shach and the Rama. The Rama is talking about you want to use your Meiser to buy a mitzvah that you would do anyway, or that you have to do anyway. So you want to use your Meiser to buy yourself matzah. Okay, it's very nice, it's a mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah that you have to do. So therefore, you can't use your Meiser for that. And you can't use your Meiser to buy yourself a lulav or tefillin.
Why, that's true. You can buy it for $20, you can buy it for $150.
So buy the $20. If you can't afford
it.
No, because the Maisa today, I'm mechuyev to buy an esrog. Now you want to know which one to buy. So
Shach says if you're not going to be able to do it, then you can
do it. You could do it. So do it, just buy the cheaper one. I just read last night. I thought it was like stories from, I don't know when. I thought these stories were from like the time of the Shulchan Aruch when it was written. I read a story last night from Reb David Soloveitchik from the year 1940. So he said, Sukkot 1940, he was still in Brisk. I'm reading this thing. It's he wrote it. It's his biography, and then he wrote about his escape from the war. It's in the fat volume of Dov Soloveitchik on Hashkafa. Has over there a 30-page story about how what happened when they were in Brisk. And, you know, and he writes over there that the Nazis came in August into Brisk when they split up whole Poland in two or whatever. So they came in, and because of Sukkot that year, he said that they had Arbaminim. How'd they get to Arbaminim? He said an Esrog was delivered to us before the war started. So we had an Esrog. Aravis were by the river. Brisk was on the river. We found Aravis. Hadassim, someone had planted Hadassim, had a Hadassim tree. And Lulav, we had last year's Lulav. Because the Rav of the city always put away last year's Lulav in case we wouldn't find a Lulav the next year. This is before the war, I'm saying. He put it away the year before, not knowing that there was going to be a war the next year. Meaning, this is actually going on, 1938, 1940 in Europe, where you're getting palm fronts from, right? In Poland. Yeah, but I thought it was like, you know, it seems like it was Takam Maisa B'chol Yom. So
it was like, what, 7 years? Yeah. It's the same. It looked like
you
put it in the rafters.
So.
What? They don't last more than 2 or 3 days
today. They last. We don't.
No, they don't last. Yeah, exactly. You take the aleph out of the sleeve and boom, it's gone in 2 days. There goes the aleph.
Right. So, yeah, because you didn't get the aleph out. They're trying to make sure.
I lost that last aleph.
Yeah. The point is, no, I don't think that you could use your Maisa money to go get the nicer Esrog. So get the not nicer one if you can't afford it. Trust me, whatever you're getting is a lot nicer than whatever they had. That's for sure. Now, so that you can't do. So Dr. Baragoyla, this is the bottom. This is the bottom line of it. You could use it for a mitzvah that you wouldn't do otherwise, but a mitzvah that you're mechuyev to do otherwise, that you cannot use your ma'aser for. That's essentially the bottom line. Okay? And that's the Piskei Teshuva brings it down. However, the Chasam Sofer is a little more machmer. And the Chasam Sofer says that it's not so simple, because I thought that ma'aser is for poor people. Now we're saying ma'aser is to buy yourself an aliyah. I'm allowed to buy an aliyah because I wouldn't get the aliyah otherwise. If I can't use my ma'aser, and I'm giving money to the shul, so I could do that. But I thought it's for aniyim. So, is it for aniyim? Is it for mitzvahs? What? So, some sefer says, and the way the Mishnah Berurah Chafetz Chaim understands it like this. Really, like we said before, we were mocked him. Nowadays, we don't do tzedakah anymore. We don't do tzedakah the way it says in the Torah. So what happens when people come around, we give them money. Where are we giving them the money from? We're only going to give them the money from our ma'aser, basically. Because we set aside our ma'aser for mitzvahs, included in those is the aniyim. So if by buying the mitzvahs, you're going to take away that no longer will you be able to give the aniyim, that you shouldn't do. You still have to have in mind that there's aniyim coming, and you have to be able to give the aniyim. You have to be able to give the aniyim. Because we're not doing tzedakah otherwise. Our whole kiyum of tzedakah is with our ma'aser money. And therefore, you have to make sure. However, since our minhag is that we do mitzvahs, probably most people, when they start the minhag of setting aside their money, their ma'aser, they have in mind that they're going to do mitzvahs. But the Chafetz Chaim suggests. So I don't know when it's negeh to most people. Once they're hearing the shir, it's usually too late. But the Chafetz Chaim suggests that when a person begins the minhag, takes upon themselves the minhag, I am going to start taking off ma'aser, they should have in mind, I'm going to use this ma'aser for all mitzvahs, anything I'm not mechuyev to do, and all mitzvahs, not just aniyim, achzak satara, mitzvahs, chesed, everything like that, I'm going to put that towards, I'm going to use my ma'aser for that, and this way you're for sure covered, because you had it in mind when you started off your hanhaga of doing ma'aser. Again, I don't know at what point it becomes too late, but that's the idea. So I would say that the suggestion basically is, based on this, you do a hafrasha of ma'aser. You have to have a place that you set aside your ma'aser. You use your ma'aser, you have to cheshbon that you're going to use your ma'aser for aniyim. But on top of that, you're allowed to use the ma'aser for mitzvahs that you would not do otherwise. So buying a liaison shul, things like that, buying a svarim, whatever other things that go on, chesed, helping others, right? We talked about, right, the chesed organizations, we said, doesn't go under tzedakah, theoretically. So if we were strictly talking about tzedakah, then chesed organizations wouldn't necessarily be called tzedakah. But under Meiser, it goes under Meiser, for sure. It's definitely a mitzvah. So therefore, it goes under Meiser. And since it goes under Meiser, as long as you make sure that there's going to be money that you have for the aniyim, you could give all the chesed, and you can give all the tzedakah, and you could buy some, you can't buy yourself a pair of tefillin, but you can buy someone else a pair of tefillin. Right?
Didn't Rav say a couple of weeks ago that Maser was exclusively dedicated for to support Torah?
Yeah, so that the Chafetz Chaim is saying is that supporting Torah should take precedence. And you're saying
it's not Mashma from the remote, like they're all talking about Aniyim. They keep saying Aniyim.
Right? Yeah, but the Chafetz Chaim is saying because the Chafetz Chaim answers that question. The Chafetz Chaim says, theoretically speaking, the mitzvah of Maisa is for Amalei Torah, is for supporting Torah. Said, but nowadays, that we use our Maisa to fulfill our mitzvah of tzedakah, so then tzedakah also is part of it. So it's hard to know which one exactly takes precedence. And that's Pshat in the Ramah. And the Ramah's not saying, right, even though the Shulchan Aruch says that the primary should be tzedakah, should be achzakas haTorah, but since today, the way we do tzedakah is with our Meiser, we have to make sure we're supporting the poor people as well.
I mean, unless achzakas haTorah is basically
aniyim.
What happened in the Beis Hamikdash is they had no parnasa.
Correct.
You had people, you're telling them, okay, you people have to teach Torah. Well,
how am I supposed to do that?
We have no parnasa.
Exactly.
It's the same thing with the Rebbe. You want somebody to teach your kids.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So, that's, you know, that's the Avas Chesed. But he says, Kivan de bizmanenu yoytze mi dechayvas tzedaka aydena sinas meiser yesh lahaptem ani even before what's it called? But if you're given 20%, that's the best way. Then the first 10% could go to Torah on the Latin, and the second 10% will go to aniyim. Okay. Okay, so now that's the concept of how to understand Meiser. Based on this concept that it's a hafrasha concept, you're supposed to separate it. So the Noid Yehuda suggests that a person does a cheshbon overall once a year. So what happens? Pesachei Tshuva discusses what happens if a person has multiple businesses. So I'm going to discuss the shaila and the differences, but I can't give a final psak yet. Because I'm not, it's a very, very big shiloh. But the Noid Yehuda discusses a question where a guy has multiple businesses, and in some he makes money, in some he loses money. So do you say that at the end of the year, you know, you just make a total of how much did you gain, and you let the gains, and you take the losses, and the losses offset the gain, and then whatever's left, that's what you take Meiser from. Or do you say, look, the losses are the losses, but the gain is the gain, and I have to take Meiser off the full gain? So this is a common shiloh today.
And the business itself has to get Meiser?
What?
Or it's the business itself has to get Meiser, or just money takes out of it?
It's an individual.
I'm talking about the person. And I know you didn't have LLCs and stuff. He's talking about the guy. It's his business.
He's putting money back in the business.
Okay. So let's minimize the question. Let's get the question to a real nikuda. Obviously, if a person has a business and is taking out a salary, his salary he has to give Meiser on. Obviously, money that he never actualized and he continues to put into the business, Pasha Pshat is that he will not, if it's directly in that business, he doesn't have to take off Meiser yet from that. So for example, let's just take a simple example. Someone owns a makola, a grocery store, and he sells milk and eggs. and he's making money off the milk and eggs. He's doing very well, and he decides that he's going to take some of that profit, and he's expanding. He's going to start having fruits and vegetables also in the store. So now he starts buying fruits and vegetables. So it's true that his store got bigger, and he keeps on adding more stuff with the revenue of the store, but it's still in the business, that money. So even though now to put the fruits and vegetables, he has to buy more stuff. All that is probably not going to be subject to Meiser. Eventually, when he's going to have to sell that business, he's going to do something. You have to figure out a time when he makes that calculation. But Kipshuta, on a simple level, the stuff that he keeps in the business, he's not necessarily subject to. The question that comes up is when it's not keeping it in the business. So he takes it out and puts it into a different business. Okay? So one thing is, there is a psak, just a simple psak from Rav Elyashiv. Someone asked me this question about 2 weeks ago, that they own a house in New York, and the rest of the class, so they're moving to Florida. Okay? And in order to buy a house here, they have to sell their house there. Now, if he sells his house over there, if he gives Meiser off of the Revach, because he bought it 75 years ago, whatever, he bought it a long time ago, and now he's gonna take off Meiser off the profit, then he can't afford to buy a place here.
For sure not an M&B.
Huh?
For sure not an M&B.
That's even that without the Meiser.
So the Rav Elyashiv says that to buy, having a place to live is considered one continuous business. It's not like I'm selling one to buy the other. So therefore, you never really bought the house as a business to begin with. You bought the house to have a place to live. And now you want to sell it to buy a different place to live. And you're still not he's saying that's not called actualizing the gain.
If it was a business, if I'm selling one property to buy another property, I have to do much on the property as well.
Probably.
It's a 1031.
Right. Yeah. But that's exactly what I'm trying to get to. Is that Zuck is saying, Svara, that my place to live is a continuous, it's like I'm keeping the money in the business. I'm not buying it for the purpose of the value. I don't care if they're both worth $100,000 or they're both worth $1 million. The bottom line is, this is my house and this is my primary residence. So I'm selling one to buy the other. So he says, there you don't have to pay Meiser. You're not mechayev in Meiser, because there the revach is basically staying inside the concept where I had a place to live and now I'm like to having a place to live. But if at the point where our good old makolet guy decides that now that he went from eggs and milk to fruits and vegetables, and then he starts carrying bread and baked goods, he's like everybody else, the wealth starts getting to him. So he decides that now he's going into real estate. So he decides he's going to buy his first nursing home, and he sells his makolet to go buy a new business. So at that point, he does have to give Meiser off of the makolet, off of the first business, because now, right now he sold that business to buy a different business. So now he ended that business venture. Now he's starting a new business venture.
Where's that line? If he decides he's no longer selling eggs, now he's selling bread, he has to give my son all the eggs he's sold?
No, that's what I'm trying to say. Is that you have to have some seichel. That's where it starts. So if you don't have it, I'll provide the seichel for right now. That if he's expanding that, that's exactly my whole point. Is that when he's expanding it in the business, so that's one business. But a nursing home is not a continuation of a makolet. But having bread is a continuation of the makolet. It's an expansion of that business.
So if my business is I buy and sell businesses, so every business
that was saying... No, so you need to... So that's... This is where the makolikus is. Okay? That exactly the point is... That's why I'm trying to give this example. So if the guy sells his makolet and goes buys a nursing home, don't tell me, well, I'm just, it's just a continuation of the same business. No, you pulled out...
He didn't make a penny, and he said, I'm crazy on debt, now he has to give $100,000
miser. Right.
And he didn't
sustain your makolet.
His name, but he has to...
Sustain your makolet. I don't know what to tell you. You started a business...
Miser is money that you make.
He sold... So he expanded his business, and then he sold the business. So now he made profit, So he has to sell.
It can only be sold in business for a profit. If you lost money in the business, it's not going to
sell. Obviously.
What are you talking about?
Why would we talk about a guy that's losing money?
Who said that, though? I bought the business 100 years ago, 20 years ago, for $20,000, I was 15. And then you don't think it's my
sale for 15. So that's the rabbi.
House here, you still have $500,000 in your pocket because you sold it for much higher than you're going to be saying that extra.
No, the extra would be higher.
The extra would be higher.
Yeah, right.
It's only if you're taking a loss or it's even.
If it's even, yeah. You know, the point is, if you're selling your house here to buy a house there, and you need a place to live, you don't have to pay Meiser on what you're using to buy your primary residence. On the rest, you have to pay. Yeah. Yeah. So if you sold the Makola for a profit, your initial investment of it was $100. It's now worth $100,000. You have to take off Meiser off that because now you sold it for more money.
Just the initial investments?
When
every time I bought eggs, they paid money, so I should keep
no, bought eggs, you sold eggs. Okay. Profit, the salary that you took home, because eventually will equal out, that's why. Because all the money that you took out of the business to support your family over the years, you paid Meister on already.
But also every
and now the value that stayed in the business, you're going to pay Meister when you sell it out.
I'm going to have to pay Meister on that also, so no, I'm paying dollars.
Exactly.
Every single year.
No, because your baseline is much harder, higher.
The whole
no, it's not true. It's not true. The money that I made every time that I took home, I'm paying Meister on that. The Meister that stayed in the business, I'm going to pay Meister when I sell the business. Now my baseline is higher when I start my new business, and now that's going to be my baseline for my nursing home. Now, the point is that, what were we saying?
If you're looking to sell a house, let's the scenario that you mentioned of the person, let's say he has the money, and he didn't sell a house yet in New York, could he buy another house and then,
Right, so that was kind of where the guy
takes out another loan,
okay, it's a little more complicated. It's a bit more complicated. That's why I wanted to keep it simple. Now, if the person goes and sells the Makola now for a nursing home, so when he sells the Makola now, he's actualizing all the gain that he had over the years of the Makola. Now he has to pay Meister on that. Now he's in the nursing home, so that's going to be his new business. And that will be the baseline to start his business. Now, what happens if he has a building, address 100 First Street, okay, LLC, and he has that business, then he sells 100 First Street, and he made $1 million on it. He bought it for $500,000, so it's $1 million, he made $500,000. Now he buys 200 Second Street, right, for $1 million. So, and why is he doing that? Because he's in real estate. So here's where you get this confusion. So now, do you say that 100 First Street is one business, and he made $500,000 in that business, and he actualized it, now he's buying a new business. So it's like he sold my call to buy a nursing home. So he bought a new business. The new business is 200 Second Street.
That's what he's in. He's in the business of real estate.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So that's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is that he's in the business of real estate.
He's in the business of making money.
And his business venture.
Not called for a nursing home. It's not because it's two separate businesses. This is more.
Yeah. But here maybe there's an argument that's now if a person I would think that it depends really on the metzias. If a person has venture capital, whatever, and he's buying and selling stocks all day, and he has holdings and stuff, it could be that it's just a portfolio, and he doesn't really know what's going on, and it basically, he doesn't know every time he's buying it. He has someone doing it for him. The guy happens to be buying and selling things up, down. So that's obviously much different, because there, the whole concept is the money's sitting with the other guy, and he doesn't really know what's going on. But in one building to the other, most cases, if a person's really honest with themselves, I would think is that business venture is over. He made a successful business venture. He invested in a property, went up. He's selling out of that property for whatever reason, and he wants to start something new. To me, I think many places can hold like that. That even if it's subject to what is it called, 1031. So it's part of from it's there's no income tax on it, or no, whatever, capital gains, whatever exactly the tax consequence would be. It could be he could exempt himself from the tax consequence on it, but there is no gzer shava IRS to Hilchas Meiser, and therefore it's not muchach that just because the IRS considers it to be, you know, good for the economy, because they want people to buy and sell and keep, it's the WD-40 for the whole economy, this concept. So basically people buy and sell. But that doesn't mean that in Hilchos Meiser, it's not considered actualizing a profit. So I think it's pretty obvious to me that that it would be chayv in Meiser. I think if it's in a case where it's on a smaller level. So it's like, you know,
that just could be its business model. You come up, take it to the grocery store, adding eggs, and then adding.
Yes.
It's a business model. Business model is I buy it, I sell it when it gets, I buy it bigger. I keep on buying bigger until
okay,
I get.
Okay, so that, this is the. This is why it's
you
something.
You have to ask them. Is this a business model? This was a one-off thing that all of a sudden, wow, this was really cool. Let me try.
Right. That's what I'm saying. If you have certain apartments and you're going to now expand them and sell them, so that you could buy. How it depends what's going on. It depends, I think, what's going on. I tried to give an example that's a little more specific. Like, this is one place.
You can't look at it in the LLC because that's done for liability purposes. It's
right.
Not done because.
Right.
Of
okay.
Reason,
so there was, it's a little, this area is a little bit,
right.
Depends on the metzias because, like you're saying, the metzias is where that's goofa just, you know, changing from. Just scaling up. I'm adding eggs to my business, so now I'm just moving up. Or and even the Makolik guy, right? If he started off on the
like buying more,
right? That's what I'm saying. So if the Makolik guy decided one day that, you know what, this is going good, I don't need to stay in the corner of the street that's in the middle of nowhere, I want to buy a more central location, he's going to sell and buy there, he doesn't have to pay Meiser necessarily because he's just using it to expand his business to become a better store. So one could argue that some of these cases are like that, but some of them aren't. Sometimes, let's say you have different investors here. You brought investors in to this project. You sold out. You gave out the gains to everybody. So you also got the gains. So what's the difference?
The same investors are putting into the next deal.
Not necessarily. You're going to go and you're going
to
go find a new
more.
Deal. You're going to raise more capital. It's a whole new project. So very often, it's looked at as a whole separate project. You know, Lani is Daiti. So Rabbi Abramoff, who Chavtskal Abramoff comes here once in a while, he has large Kohelim and Eretz Yisrael. And he told me once that he brought a big gvir to Rav Steinman. And, you know, he was one of these guys that started off from very small in real estate, and he ended up being a big gvir, and he was asking him this question. So he asked him this question. So Rav Steinman said, I'm not sure, but you started off with $1,000 in your pocket. You end your life with $100 million in your pocket. You better pay Meiser at some point. So I can't figure out when, but he's definitely chayv, right? So you have to use a little bit your... That was what Steinman told him. So that is that...
Use your seichel.
Use your seichel a little bit. You have to understand where is it like you're cashing out and you're using it to, you know... and obviously... obviously we're not talking about the cash you are cashing out and taking. That's obvious that they have to pay. We're talking about the stuff that you're going to theoretically use towards the next project. What's there? Okay? That's, I think, a little bit more subjective.
If a person is involved in the stocks and it's not for the broker and then, you know, doesn't know what he actually knows what he's doing, every time he buys and sells, he has to get a Meiser on it?
If he's given to a broker, zich or not, but yeah, I don't know. Buying and selling... It's hard to believe.
At the end of the year, you get a statement, you see what your total losses
are. Right. The IRS is in times more machmir than it because when you have an S corp, it passes through even by certain LLCs that they will impute the money you left in your company. They will impute that as if you took it yourself. They will charge you taxes on that, right? Therefore, you are being a fan.
Right.
They're looking at it, you actualize it. You want to keep in your company, that's your chesed.
Right.
As far as the IRS is concerned,
right.
You actualize it.
Right.
Meiser,
I think
the
stock
Meiser,
is one long hemshich of you're trying to keep the money in there for investment. You're not looking at it like you're ending anything.
Right.
This is the way my money's working. This is just my money working for me. I'm not stopping anything. But here, it's a whole new project. I ended that project. I was in it for 10 years. I had certain people involved. I'm cashing out the project. I'm ending it. I'm basically limiting that entire business model, and I'm moving into a new thing. In that case, I would hear much more that it's continuous. Now, as far as the shiloh we started with, which is I have one that's working, one that's not, right? So 100 First Street is making a lot of money, but 200 Second Street, I own both, is making no money and losing money. So what's the halacha over there? Again, if we consider them two separate businesses, maybe I have to pay all my ma'aser from one.
Should be the same thing as if you would buy one and sell the other. Whatever
if
that
it's,
gather is.
If it's considered two different businesses.
Whatever that gather that's still on sale for, that should be the same thing. If they're considered one business, we wouldn't have to pay Meister if we would buy one.
Right. And you're not going to say, by the Macola guy, he made money on the eggs but lost money on the milk, that he has to pay money on the eggs because his store didn't make money. But if this is two separate stores, maybe I do have to pay money on that. So the Noda B'Yuda, we'll have to see it inside, how he comes out.
If the Makola guy didn't sell his Makola, but bought the nursing home anyway, and then realized he has no idea what he's doing and starts losing money on the nursing home, he's just
That would be the distinction. Right. That's the heckish, but that's the point. Exactly. So we'll get a little bit more into that next week, Be'ez Hashem, if I'm